Mataji, once more, Mataji, we could hardly hear.
Mataji, can you speak a little louder?
Mataji, we can't hear you.
Yeah, Prabhu, maybe you can start. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, you can take over.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for your valuable time and attention this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, thank you so much for having me in this Sangha. I am sorry that I had just logged in a couple of minutes late as I was giving another session and I just ended them and probably here. So, excuse me for the late. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamutiraye Ashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityanandam Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityanandam Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrindam. So we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, chapter 19, text number 6 onwards. So we are going to read maybe 10-11 verses today. Once again, very tough and an interesting context that very tough and interesting context that I am getting into. So we will try our best to do justice to this the context. So verse number 6 of Antyalila, chapter 19. The chapter itself is the inconceivable behavior of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If it is already declared inconceivable, how even a person of my stature will be able to do any justice to that? Let's see. Nadiya chalaha matare kahi namaskaram amara name pada padma Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Jagadananda Pandita, go to Nadia and offer my obeisances to my mother. Touch her lotus feet in my name. Tahiha Tanhare Tumi Karaha Smaranam Nitya Asiyami Tomar Vandiye Charanam. Tell her for me, please remember that I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet. Text number 8. Ye dine tomara icha karayite bhojana se dina ashi avashya kariye bhakshana. Any day you desire to feed me, I certainly come and accept whatever you offer. Text 9. Tomara Sheva Chati Ami Karilum Sanyasam Baulahana Ami Kailum Dharma Nasham. I have given up service to you and have accepted the vow of sannyasa. I have thus become mad and have destroyed the principles of religion. 10. Yehi aparadha tumi na dahya amara tomara adina ami putra se tomara. Mother, please do not take this as an offense, for I, your son, am completely dependent upon you. Text 11. Nila chale achiyami tomara ajnate yavat jiva tavatami nari bhachanite. I am staying here at Neelachala, Jagannath Puri, according to your order. As long as I live, I shall not leave this place. Gopalilaya paila yei prashada vasane patare patana taha purira vachane. Following the order of Paramananda Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his mother the prashada, clothing left by Lord Jagannatha after his pastime as a cowherd boy. Jagannathera uttama prashada aniya yatane matare prata bhatana ara bhakta ghane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very carefully brought first class prasadam from Lord Jagannatha and sent it in separate packages to his mother and devotees at Nadia. Matru bhakta Hanera Prabhu Hana Shiromani Sanyasa Kariya Sada Semana Janani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the topmost gem of all devotees of mothers. He rendered service to his mother even after he had accepted the vow of sannyasa. Jagadananda Nadiya Giya Matare Mililam Praburayatani Edana Shakala Kahilam. Jagadananda Pandita thus went to Nadiya and when he met Sachi Mata, he conveyed to her all the Lord's salutations. Acharyadi Bhakta Gane Mililam Prashada Giya Mata Dhani Agnya Alayla Masheka Rahiyam. He then met all the other devotees headed by Advaitacharya and gave them the prasadam of Jagannath. After staying for 1 month, he took permission from Mother Sachi to leave. Acharya Tani Giya Ajna Mahila Acharya Goshani Prabhu Sandesha Kahila. When he went to Advaitacharya and also asked his permission to return, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we are going to stop here till verse number 17. I originally thought that we will go past and try to turn what Advaitacharya has written to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then I thought carefully I may not be able to articulate them properly, so I just decided to stop here. Probably the next speaker will churn that part. Very, very interesting. How Advaitacharya is sending a very secret letter, open but secret, that is between Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya, some divine communication. And eventually nobody could follow. Sarup Damodar Goswami got completely confused. So Mahaprabhu had to decipher and tell whatever he could tell. And eventually everybody understood that Mahaprabhu is going to wind up his earthly pastimes. That's a further part of it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yenam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Namaham Vishnu Padayam కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త వృందం హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో వి ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు డిస్కస్ సంథింగ్ ఇన్కన్సీవబుల్ బట్ విల్ ట్రై టు సీ ఇఫ్ వి కుడ్ డ్రా సమ్ లెసన్స్ ఫర్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్స్. ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ I will layer this conversation into threefold, like last time. We will talk from the perspective of a normal person who is inquisitive, interested in spiritual subject matter. Then the current context we will analyze from the perspective of a practitioner who is trying to elevate himself to be a sincere practitioner. And I'll try to churn this context into the third layer, which is after I surrender fully as a clean soul, how do I perceive this context? We will see this same set of shlokas from these three different perspective. And as we discussed earlier also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even Krishna for that matter, or any avatar, but specifically Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because we know about their activities, we will see their behavior in a normal transactional sense and their behavior in a internalizing sense. So layering this set of verses into this three context will help us to meditate even in the inconceivable aspect of Mahaprabhu's activities. So Mahaprabhu is telling those words which are very, very dharmic and which are classified as righteousness. What is that he is saying? He is telling, my dear mother, I am missing you. My dear mother, I am always remembering about you. I am following your advice. Whatever you are feeding, I am accepting. Purely some sort of a righteous, sentimental, dharmic conversation. Srila Prabhupada, when he established this Krishna consciousness movement, Srila Prabhupada wanted all of us to come and follow righteousness. His definition of devotee is a perfect gentleman. A perfect gentleman is the one whose action as well as intentions, they both are clean. If intention is clean, actions are not so clean. If action is clean, intentions are not so clean. Both ways there are disturbance. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his words of expression, he is trying to communicate how, as a son, how as a righteous person offers his respect to elders, offers his respect to the earthly connections for which one is indebted, and try to show the path of dharma. So here he said four things. Number one, I am offering my obeisances to you according to Dharma Shastra. A sannyasi is in an elevated seat. He is considered as senior most. So he is not having an obligation to offer respects to others, because by the natural virtue of his position, he commands respect and he does not need to have any obligation to offer respect. But even that, Dharma Shastra says, exemption is for one's mother. In general, the Mayavadi school of thought says, the sannyasi will not bow down to anyone but for the mother. Of course, Bhakti school of thought is a slightly higher, where our job is to bow down, but not in the literal sense of bowing down. I serve humanity at large by giving them Krishna, by bringing them to Krishna, by elevating them to Krishna. That way I serve them, bow them. Every time bowing down, offering respects, not necessarily mean he touched someone's feet. A sannyasi serves everyone by giving his blessings. A sannyasi serves everyone by giving them Krishna. A sannyasi serves others by rescuing them from Maya. So that is his way of service. So the journey in Krishna consciousness, in terms of a practitioner, one needs to learn, walk in the path of dharma. One needs to walk in the path of righteousness. That's a natural journey to enter into Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada wanted, even though Srila Prabhupada knew where every one of his students are coming from, Prabhupada gave them holy name, Srila Prabhupada gave them four regulative principles, and Srila Prabhupada's first agenda was to make them righteous. Because on the basis of wrong, incorrect, imperfect, and offensive, sinful activities, devotional journey cannot sustain. So, if I can, even though this chapter is very, you know, esoteric, I'm trying to bring down to my level so that we can draw some lessons. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conversation with his mother, if a normal person reads, is that he's having attachment. He's showing those emotions which are all very bodily in nature, which are all very external in nature, but it is still considered as righteous dharmic. The second level of conversation is about the aspects in terms of a person in coming across some devotional service or practicing devotee. One of the important aspects of a practicing devotee is such that, as one of the verses Srila Prabhupada says, or the Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, that I have given up service to you and have accepted the vow of sannyasa, I have thus become mad and have destroyed the principles of religion. What does this statement actually mean? Does that mean that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying he has broken religious principles? This actually means that in devotional service, one has to go past dharma. In fact, there are several episodes in Chaitanya Charitamrita which talks about how a practitioner need to rise up and go past dharma, go past duality, go past things which are conditional, restrictive, and primitive in nature. So Mahaprabhu's incarnation is one of the uniquenesses. He has taught us the Panchama Purushartha about how to do devotional service. And in this, there are three layers. Layer number one, I do dharma, or I am being dharmic when I began devotional life. Then I became devotee and appreciated dharma. Third stage is I became a self-realized soul going past dharma. Because in the stage of pure devotional service, there is no concept of dharma. Alvars, there's an Alvar by name, Tirumangai Alvar. His whole job is robbery and dacoity. And he is considered as the sword of the Supreme Lord, incarnation of the Lord's sword. So Tirumangai Alvar, when he tried to serve the Supreme Lord, his nature of service was such that no one can imitate, no one can even comprehend. He used to go and fight with kings, loot huge, huge quantities of gold, jewelry and ornaments and this and that for serving the Supreme Lord. So the point I'm trying to say as a part of the second category is where I am practicing Krishna consciousness, whilst I may begin with dharma as the base, I need to go above dharma and try to operate on the platform of devotion and eventually go past to a stage even I get rid of dharmic thoughts also. As we have many times read, knowledge and renunciation can lead us up to a certain stage in devotional life. Beyond that, neither knowledge nor renunciation are going to help. Sincerity and our sentiments is what would matter in our emotional journey. So, the second layer of reflection in this current context is, when I am supposed to be practicing Krishna consciousness, my vision changes, my perspective changes, my focus changes. And how they change? They change in four aspects. Number one, they change in the way I am looking at others. Am I non-judgmental or am I judgmental? Number two, how much responsible I am for myself. And number three, how much accountable I am for myself. And number four, how much I am respectful towards everything around. So if I use this current context, I can very well explain, or we can very well understand from this current context, Mahaprabhu exhibited that mannerism, exhibited that etiquette, exhibited that symptoms, how a practicing devotee need to conduct himself. Non-judgmental, being responsible, being accountable and being respectful, with initially dharma as the big base, eventually to go past dharma. That is why our bhakti yoga process has to be built on the platform of varnashrama dharma, but eventually we have to go past that too. This is layer number two. Layer number three, when we come to the stage of self-realized soul, when we come to the stage of being properly situated in pure goodness, where here we're talking about devotional sentiments of a self-realized soul, here Mahaprabhu is exhibiting his behavior in such a manner that he is trying to slowly unwind his earthly pastimes. You will see them as a part of the second set of this chapter discussion, where Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya having a very intense interaction, where the way Krishna wound up his earthly pastimes, here Mahaprabhu is also beginning to wind up his earthly pastimes. He is exhibiting that symptoms wherein he is appreciating, thanking, serving, and showing his indebtedness to all of those, which is a sign of a fully surrendered soul. A sign of a fully surrendered soul is that he or she considers that I am dasanu 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 das, and in that frame of mind, I am trying to be very, very, very humble and submissive enough so that I can kind of wind up my activities. So this is the third, you know, layer or the third positioning with respect to this current context. So these three positioning as a sadhaka or as a inquisitive practitioner, as a sadhaka or a sincere practitioner, and as a self-realized soul, one needs to definitely, you know, evaluate where does he or she stand and try to operate and learn and apply principles in one's life. So this is my first reflection. Because in our journey in Krishna consciousness, we have said this many times, but I'll repeat it. A spiritual master gives instruction that much enough which his disciples can assimilate. If Srila Prabhupada had given all that he knew to us, probably we would not know what to do with those information. So all these purports, all these Chaitanya Charitamrita shlokas, if Srila Prabhupada had opened up his heart and expressed himself, probably we will not be able to process those information. We will be able to, you know, really get overwhelmed. So hence, we need to understand that proportionate to how and what we have surrendered, that much we have been blessed with information. So my first reflection is that as a part of my journey in Krishna consciousness, every time I will associate, read, hear, and try to relate with any leela proportionate to how much my shraddha is, proportionate to how much my surrender is, proportionate to how much my understanding is. That way, we will be able to make substantial progress. So we spoke all of the classification. Now the second reflection, when we read such, you know, context, because we read till what happens when Jagadananda Pandit went and met Advaitacharya. There is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very famous song, and very reflective and introspective song. The song is Habe Habe Bolo Sei Din Amar. In that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is asking several questions to oneself. Aparada guchi sudaname ruchi kripa bole kabe hridaye sancha. Then one of the stanza, he's singing, seventh stanza. Ini boluti bo harinamarasa namarase mati hoi bo vibasa rase rasika sharana parasa oriya moji bo rase arniva. When will I buy, borrow, or steal the ecstasies of the holy name? When will I lose myself in the intoxication of the holy name? When will I immerse myself in the nectar of holy name after grasping the feet of a saint who constantly relishes the flavors of devotion. So when I read these types of, you know, stories and prayers, this song is a song nothing but of pleading. Habe habe bolo, sei din amar. When will that day be mine? And I will do all these things. So one has to go into that zone of introspection. One has to go into the zone of asking oneself a question that when will that day be mine? I will be able to do these things and relish. Because here Mahaprabhu, further down, he is going to go into super excited state. He is going to get into a super ecstatic state. So those are all those niche, wonderful, confidential moments which are not publicly known, publicly revealed. Or at least, ek jalak to dekha. We have seen some, you know, samples of them in our own personal lives, either in the life of other acharyas or in our own personal experience. We have heard, seen, experienced. So the question can be asked to ourselves. Kabe habe bolo, seidi namar. So otherwise, what is there to, you know, talk about it in this chapter, in this current 10, 11 verses beyond? When will the day be mine? When I will also get some ecstasies? When will the day be mine? When I will also go and, you know, enjoy the transcendental rasa. When will the day be mine? And I will get deeper into the pastimes of Shishi, Radha and Krishna. Jeevane marane gati arunahi mora. So when will that day be mine? So that is my second reflection. When we turn this aspect, for me to move from a practitioner or an aspirant, inquisitive one, to move to the stage of a bona fide practitioner, eventually move to the stage of a self-realized soul. What happens is the philosophy, the principles of yearning, longing is going to help. And the third reflection. The third reflection, whenever we see such activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, last four chapters, or maybe three chapters, they are touching based on such an esoteric pastime. So, Srila Prabhupada, when he came down from the spiritual world, tried to help us apply and practice Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada set a very interesting principle. What principle Srila Prabhupada had set? Srila Prabhupada had made sure that the knowledge, in fact, this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also operates. The knowledge which is unfathomable, which is uncomprehendable, which is super special, they are packaged and capsuled in such a manner by which you will be able to experience even in this current body, in this current self. Like for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Krishna prem through holy name. So by we chanting in the Sankirtan, we are getting the same result of chanting and dancing in Rasalila. And Srila Prabhupada did further fantastic job. That Krishna prem which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed and demonstrated through his Leela, that Krishna prem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed to his confidential servants, that Krishna prem, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and bestowed his blessings upon all those sincere souls. Srila Prabhupada took it upon himself and distributed them by making necessary adjustments according to the people of Kali Yuga, especially in the modern era. There, Nectar of Instructions, chapter number 5, the purport Srila Prabhupada writes. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they are patita. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to chant 64 rounds. But we are not chanting so. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called a neophyte. But by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of a first-class devotee. Everyone begins his devotional life from the neophyte stage. But if one properly finishes chanting the prescribed number of rounds of Harinama, he is elevated step by step to the highest platform, Uttamadhikari. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beats. My dear Srila Prabhupada, that's a state even for us in India too. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically, Prabhupada writes this, next of instruction. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen soul. So in this entire paragraph, what is the secret line hidden behind? With all seriousness and without duplicity. So with all seriousness and without duplicity, if someone could do this. So Mahaprabhu says 64 rounds, but Prabhupada saying that technically speaking, we should have done that. But because we are patita, because we are fallen, because of our conditioning, we may not be able to do 64 rounds. So we have, you know, kind of been merciful on you guys. That's what Prabhupada meant. But I have allowed you to chant 16 rounds, get the same result, which, of course, minimum 16 rounds, let me put it that way, and get the same result as otherwise would have got. So the point I was trying to, you know, churn here is that in our journey to Krishna consciousness, somewhere or other, we need to work in such a capacity. We need to several times Srila Prabhupada says in his own, but what we need to show the perseverance and commitment in our Krishna consciousness in such a capacity that we are recipient of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It comes to the next reflection. So that this is the last reflection of this particular context that I am discussing there. So we have heard about Mahaprabhu's inconceivable nature. You have seen here how Mahaprabhu tried to have exchanges of gesture in, you know, trying to wind up his earthly pastimes, which you will all very soon hear them, how it is, what Advaita Acharya meant and how Mahaprabhu responded to that situation and how we need to prepare ourselves by longing within ourselves, just yearning and, you know, longing for a spiritual journey. The last reflection I want to say here is where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that Jagadananda Pandita was a very dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Any day you desire to feed me, I certainly come and accept what you offer. Please remember that I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet. So, this communicates a very clear-cut message by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This message is not only to his dear mother, this also holds good for all of us. So if I am understanding where I am in my spiritual life, if I am yearning and longing for that, and in the process of devotional service, I am trying to, you know, exhibit all seriousness and no duplicity, then what natural outcome that I am going to get is that Mahaprabhu will come and accept whatever he offered. So this message, in a subtle capacity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is communicating that tell her for me, my dear Jagadananda, I come here every day and offer my respects to your lotus feet, and certainly come and accept all you offer with love. Same thing Krishna says, Yome bhaktya prayaschati tataham bhakti upagritam ashnami priyatatmanaha. So I come and personally accept them, is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So if we, in our practicing of Krishna consciousness, try to show that character, try to show that sincerity, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept our offerings. Narasimhananda Brahmachari, a very famous devotee, did serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whilst he was staying at his own house. He couldn't go along with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his yatra, but while staying at his own house, Narasimhananda Brahmachari served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by very, very wonderful arrangement. He was meditating, contemplating, and he was trying to reach out to Mahaprabhu and win his mercy. So the practicing of Krishna consciousness, the devotional sentiments are such that if we are very sincere, if you are able to practice, here Krishna is acknowledging that he visits, he comes to our house and accept our offering. Raghunandan Thakur's pastime is a typical example. The Raghunandan Thakur, when he is offering the boga to the Supreme Lord, because his dad had gone to the palace for the king's service, he is crying, he is pleading. He is, requesting to the Lord, my dear Lord, please accept me. If you don't accept this, then I will, definitely cry. And he is starting to say that probably because I'm a small boy, you are not eating from me. Probably because I am not offering the same manner as my dad would be offering it to you. So why are you not accepting this to me? So the boy's innocence, the boy's masoom, whatever that childishness, the Lord liked. So then we do have such a symptom in our devotion without any duplicity. We just finished the class in which we discussed the six characteristics, vices that Srila Prabhupada tells are detrimental to surrender. It's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 12, text number 235, I'm right. So he says, Kudinati, fault finding, Pratishtachara, name, fame, popularity, Jivahimsa, being envious to other living entity, Kama, lusty, and he's also telling about how a person who have puja, labha, so anybody who's trying to be, looking for some material benefit. So these are all some vices which will not let us surrender. So that purpose, Srila Prabhupada writes that when we avoid these things, we will be able to make substantial progress in our journey. And with these vices, probably we'll be assuming that we are a practicing devotee and a very nice devotee, whilst we will be watering the weed rather than watering the Bhakti Lata weed. So my last reflection in this current context is to say that if one sincerely, with love and devotion, performs his devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying, the way he goes to meet Sachi Mata, he would visit you and me too. Srila Prabhupada used to say this. Anyone who is doing deity worship, by looking at the way they are taking care of the deities, we can evaluate their devotion towards the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord reciprocates, yeyata mam prapadyante, tams tataiva bhajamyaham. The Lord reciprocates to that person, and based on the Lord's reciprocation, one makes necessary progress. Because if the Lord does not reciprocate, how much ever devotion a person would do, he will not be able to make further progress. As we have discussed in the past, what stops us in our surrender is our ego. Edging God out. E-G-O. Ego means edging God out. And what is this ego? How do you represent them? They represent them in three layers. Layer number one, they represent them where I am intoxicated in my own, you know, state of sense gratification. Layer number two, which is, you know, further worser, where whilst because of my intoxication, I am impudent, where I am trying to be pushing myself forward or trying to, you know, be self-centered. And because of my impudence, I will always have agenda centered around my benefit, my favor. Mada, Drishta, Uddhanda are three components of pride. And pride and ego are cause and effect type. So my last reflection hence is that for us to be the recipient of Lord's mercy, we need to have innocence, we need to have pretty simplicity in our heart, and sometimes knowledge alone makes the heart hard. So hence knowledge needs to be received with blessings, and that knowledge needs to be applied, and we need to eventually raise up to the level of servant rather than being a scholar. So here in this context, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to say that so long as they are going to, you know, serve me, worship me, glorify me, and call me out in love, I will reciprocate back. I will come to your house, accept, surrender to you, serve you. Of course, the position of Mother Sachi is superlative in nature, whereas our own position is somewhat different. So we need to show that character in our practicing of devotional life, and then you know, things would work our way. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had demonstrated how in terms of etiquette, he had done his part very, very nicely. Like how Krishna, when he left Vrindavan, but he did make sure, he regularly said, you know, Balaram, Uddhava, and sent some letters to make sure that, you know, he is still concerned about them. And every time when they received Krishna's message, they developed the hope that Krishna would definitely come. So these all stories or these all storyline are increasing our hope in Krishna consciousness, our surrender in Krishna consciousness. By reading them, we also can come to know that if we are sincere, if we are practicing devotional aspects nicely, then Krishna would, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally come and accept our offerings, our prayers, and he would be with us. Tomara Hridaye Sada, Govinda Vishram, Govinda Kohena Mora, Vaishnava Paran. So it is definitely our privilege that as a part of this wonderful Krishna conscious family, these all aspects are not only spoken, these are aspects are taught, demonstrated, and experienced, and eventually distributed further. So we are part of that team. Hence, we need to not only hear them and ignore, we need to hear them, assimilate them, apply them, and eventually distribute this knowledge to others. So I would like to end my discussion here with respect to this current context, wherein Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to wind up his earthly pastimes. And as he is winding up with earthly pastimes, he is trying to communicate certain behavioral, you know, messages through this particular part. So we had discussed four aspects today. Number one aspect is about the context to be understood from three layers. Layer from a perspective of inquisitive person who is interested in spirituality, wherein he needs to follow dharma, righteousness, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, exhibiting here. And as a practicing devotee, one has learned that he needs to apply spirituality in action, the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that the spirituality in action can be done by using bhakti. One has to be dharmic and eventually go past dharma and be situated and have his contact vision completely fixed, which means making sure one does not try to fault find on others. One does take responsibility of his behavior. One does have accountability for his behavior. And finally, one is respectful towards others. And further up, the third layer is when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in an ecstatic state, when he is in the state of a self-realized nature or a self-realized soul, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is demonstrating the principle of quote-unquote service and surrender. His, as a sannyasi, as a self-realized, as a person, his way of offering respect is to exchange the love, exchange giving knowledge by winning more and more souls to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And as a second reflection, we spoke about whenever we read such context, we need to reflect upon when will that day be mine, when I will be able to enjoy the transcendental rasa, because as of now, I don't have that rasa, so I need to get into that rasa and eventually raise up my consciousness to that level by, as we sung in the song, inibo lutipo hari nama rasa nama rase mati hoi bo vibasha rasera rasika charana parasa oriya mochibo rase aniba. So we need to somewhere or other eventually get to this rasa, and that's possible by this process of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Of course, Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada had given the most complicated thing to achieve in this Kali Yuga in a very simplified manner. So we need to take advantage of them. The third reflection that we spoke about is about how in the process, probably, what is even expected of us from Mahaprabhu and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj are pretty high, which Srila Prabhupada made it very simple by, making that statement in Nectar of Instruction where we are still Patita, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Patita Bhavana. So by we showing the character of utmost seriousness and non-duplicity, we will be still the recipient of the mercy as others would have received. And the last part is that in our endeavor to exhibit Krishna consciousness, if we get rid of all those six vices that I listed from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will be able to attract, command Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, because Mahaprabhu here is saying, I visit you, my dear mother. I accept your offering. I accept your love. So which is not only Mahaprabhu's communicating to his mother, it holds good for all the sincere and serious practitioners, that we can also be a recipient of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy right at our own house, right at our own heart. But for that, we need to make sure we get rid of our ego and pride in our heart, which are layered into three, Mada, Drishta, Uddhanta, wherein I try to be intoxicated, impudent, and push myself forward. If I can somehow or other, get rid of that propensity, then probably very easily we will be able to maneuver and move forward and attract Krishna's attention towards us. Thank you so much. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It's a very, very complicated subject. I am trying to even not scratch the surface of the subject and trying to be very on the surface level only we have spoken. I'm sure whoever is serious and advanced person can churn further down to the depth of this, and I will not be able to handle them with all sincerity. I beg forgiveness if I fall short of your expectation in explaining this current context. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments, I'll be happy to respond.
Hare Krishna.
Anyone has any questions or comments?
हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी, कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम। श्रील प्रभुपाद चले गुरुदेव की जय। श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय। प्रभु जी, योर ऑल रियलाइजेशन इज वर्किंग इन अवर डे टू डे लाइफ। प्रे फॉर अस दैट वी बिकम अ सिंसियर वैष्णव लाइक यू। हरे हरे गौरंग। प्रभु जी, वन मोर रिक्वेस्ट, यू आर नॉट शेयरिंग योर ऑल वैष्णव सॉन्ग आल्बम, प्लीज शेयर विथ अस एंड सिंग वॉट एवर यू वॉन्ट टू सिंग बाई ऑल सीनियर वैष्णव परमिशन। दंडवत प्रभु जी, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।
हरे कृष्णा, आई नो आई एम मच बिहाइंड माय सर्विस दैट यू हैव गिवन टू यू नो पास इट ऑन टू, आई विल सी टू दैट इट्स डन सून। आई एम बिहाइंड माय टीम टू पुट थिंग्स टुगेदर, समथिंग और अदर कीपिंग एंगेजिंग मी, आई विल इन ऑर्गेनाइज दैट। माताजी, एनी क्वेश्चंस और कमेंट्स?
हरे कृष्णा प्रभु जी, धन्यवाद प्रणाम, थैंक यू सो मच। It's a very, very practical. I mean, yeah, we have been hearing it. It was so, so dense, and yeah, and listening the practical, you know, things. It's very important for a neophyte like me, who should not be listening to the esoteric pastimes. And so, Prabhu, my question is, you know, when we are in the new stage, like talking about myself, when we tend to think, oh, I am there. You know, only when you're there, you think you're not there. When you're not there, you think you're there. At this stage, how do we keep ourselves, I mean, I'm talking about myself, how do I keep myself grounded, knowing, no, I don't know anything, everybody else know it, it's just me who doesn't know it, and also continue and do not fall apart. Did I make sense, Prabhu?
Yeah, so one day, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his quarters in Mayapur Dham. So what happened was, Srila Prabhupada was looking through the window and was starting to cry. So Bhavanand Prabhu was one of the, you know, earlier disciples in those days who developed Mayapur. So he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, why are you crying? Srila Prabhupada said that you all students in your own respective places, you have servants, chauffeurs, very opulent arrangements to live. Because in those days, in Mayapur, they used to have very humble, you know, living arrangement. No proper sanitation, no proper, you know, living facilities, especially, you know, not even for Indian standard, what to speak of Western standards. Prabhupada said, just because I called you guys here, you came and serving me, I'm very much indebted to you. And Prabhupada started crying. So then all the disciples, they were responding back and saying that, Srila Prabhupada, but what you have given us is, you know, priceless. And you know, the conversation was were very intense. But whenever I hear, you know, this is not the only instance that Srila Prabhupada did this. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is not only showing his indebtedness, Srila Prabhupada is also teaching us how to stay grounded. By Prabhupada crying and communicating this to the disciples have, you know, become more and more indebted, more and more, you know, submissive, more and more loving to Srila Prabhupada. So this, the reason I'm saying is in terms of the principle, we'll come to your question on how I am supposed to work upon myself, but as a principle, how Prabhupada ensured that in his teaching to his disciples, he made his students stay grounded. Because when Prabhupada makes such a statement, if you definitely respect Prabhupada, you cannot make any one statement beyond that. Which means if Prabhupada, you know, is humble, you know, taking a humble position, of course, Prabhupada has taken a chastising position also, and you know, dictating position also, but many a times that was purely from a teaching perspective. But in terms of a personal relationship, Prabhupada was very loving and very concerned with every one of his disciples. So generally, when you associate with some self-realized souls, watch out for that humility, which will make you, if this person, one of my senior devotees in my growing days in Krishna consciousness, earlier days in Krishna consciousness, used to tell me that anytime when you have Krishna conscious challenge, please always remember the life of Acharyas. You are no one in front of them. What they have gone through is nothing in front of what you are going through. There is a saying in Tamil. Tammin meliyare noki tamadudamai amma peridendru agamagilga. Tammin kattrore noki karittariga itre ivarku naam endru. Meaning is, every time when you are relating with someone, please always appreciate how the Supreme Lord has put me in such a safest situation or safest position. Otherwise, what if I had been one person like anyone else roaming here and there without spirituality? What would have happened to me? So the way by which we can self-introspect is to learn to appreciate the position that we are in, by not to compare, but to check, what if I had not got Krishna consciousness? Like how Jayapataka Maharaja sang a beautiful song. Yadi Prabhupada na hoito, tabeki hoito. Who would have given me, if Prabhupada had not there, who would have given me the devotion to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and who would have given me devotion to Radha and Krishna? Who would have taught me Ratyatra? Who would have given me Chaitanya Charitamrita? Who would have given me Srimad Bhagavatam? So this is, another aspect. The third aspect is that in general, one of the ways by which we can stay grounded is by we explicitly, openly appreciating devotees with very, as a natural behavior. Because when I'm learning to appreciate others more and more, I am trying to, tell myself that they are Prabhu. The word Prabhu that we use, or the word, Maharaj, Mataji, or somebody senior that we call, is just not a salutation. It is purely a mindset, mentality. When we sign letters, when we write, please accept my humble obeisances, your servant, they are not just templates. They are all something that we are supposed to inculcate within ourselves. So if you have a right set of spirit to inculcate them, then probably we will, slightly get grounded. Last but not least, every one of the practicing devotees, according to my understanding, needs to accept some sort of menial service in his Krishna conscious journey for his own purification. Menial service meaning those services for which you don't claim any credit. Of course, they are not supposed to take any claim to any service. But generally, devotees are so kind, even if you do a smallest service, they appreciate you. That is Krishna's act also, devotees act also. Even if you have distributed two books, we would have been, very nice book distribution. Even if you have given some little service, would be appreciated. But learn to choose to hide behind such appreciations and try to do some menial service, which is self-introspective. And my seniors have taught, there are 3-4 such services are there. One is washing toilets. Second is washing pots. Third is mopping the floor of, a temple or some place or, place of worship. Not of your own house. Then, you're always there. Prabhuji, all 365 days I keep doing that. So by doing such, things, we are trying to, relinquish the baggage that we have. One of my senior friends used to always say, ISKCON devotee who has not washed the toilet does not understand the word humility. So, he was trying to, say from another sense. If you see many, many Ishwarapuri's life, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's life, Rasikananda's life, you take anybody's life, you would see that same in a sense of menial, service. Srila Prabhupada, when he was living in Radha Damodar temple, fantastic. Those periods where how Srila Prabhupada, lived a very humble, he himself cooked, he himself did every activity for his preaching mission. So that helps us in our humility. So these are all my reflections on how one can stay grounded. Am I making some sense, Mataji?
Totally, Prabhu. Prabhu, you said 4 menial services. You said mopping the floor.
Yeah,
the fourth one.
The fourth one is washing the... first is toilet cleaning. Second is washing the pots. Third is cleaning and mopping the floor. Fourth one is generally people when we are asked to take care of the shoe stand. Nobody wants to do that. Krishna did that. And that's one of the most, I mean, it is a profile service. Suppose, for example, you call your office colleagues and, to a function and you are maintaining the shoe stand. You do not want them to notice you because they will mock at you. I mean, in general, when I say you, I mean, say, in general person. If you go to Gurudwara, I'm not sure if you have seen that culture. They have this culture that in Gurudwara, whether you are a multimillionaire or anyone, they have this service of someone taking care of, you know, people's shoe stand. Because those are all considered as a place where you have to relinquish your ego. It is so difficult for you to, you know, stay with ego and do that service. You know, that is experienceable, and we always encourage. That is why I have seen this in Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and several people. Whenever they, you know, come for a festival or big event, after addressing the crowd, they make sure they go to the kitchen. They go to the people who are, doing sabji cutting, washing. Because those are the devotees, they are sacrificing some quote-unquote, exciting program here for serving Vaishnavas. So sometimes mercy flows to that place because of the kind of service that you have done there. Does it make sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhu, I have two questions related to it. I don't know how much time you have and how many questions.
I'm okay. We can talk.
Okay. So, Prabhu, the struggle is Maya is too strong, at least for I feel it that way. Because with the moment I am humble, I'm appreciating people. I also, it's not that I'm doing it. Maybe it is external because I would have heard in classes. The moment I'm acting humble, I realize I'm acting humble. And then people also come and tell. That gets into the head. If I don't do it, I'm fallen. If I do it, I'm fallen. So I feel so trapped. Only way I hope I see is praying that, you know, whatever is external may it become internal as well. But would you suggest something on that too, Prabhu?
In general, in this science of Vaishnava relationship, Mataji, over glorification, under glorification, both are, and according to me, is incorrect. So if you are humble, proportionate to your understanding, that is appreciated. Suppose, for example, there are certain things which are called etiquettes. Suppose, for example, a spiritual master come or a senior sannyasi come. Up till that point in time, I did not know what it means to be offering obeisances. So I may have to offer obeisances just even as a formality. But beyond that, another person may go and offer garland, eat his uchishta, and various other personal, exhibit the sign of humility, which we need not imitate. The reason is, a genuine humility will naturally make us attract the Supreme Lord towards us. The genuine humility refers to, one acknowledges where he or she stands in his spiritual quotient and how much he has appreciation for others. Krishna does not want you're flattering. Krishna does not want you to, overdo something. 3.3334 Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada writes in the purport that gradual, step-by-step progress is appreciated. So, rather than you try to match up to others' way of appreciation, if you match to your own understanding way of appreciation, that's more than appreciated than, doing anything great. That is why our devotional service is our personal responsibility. So the way for example, suppose you have a devotee friend whom you respect a lot, and on her birthday, you go and give her a golden chain. That is not required, because if you over-exaggerate yourself just to get attention of others, anybody does that, then that at some point in time will backfire us. Neither we should be, disrespectful. So proportionate to how much our Shraddha is. Krishna consciousness is very scientific and very practical. You make step as much as you have understood and you have surrendered. Then Krishna will make you the next step. So generally they say to the child when you want to teach, if the child can walk 4 steps, you give the target of 6 steps. But the child can walk only 4 steps. If you give the target of 40 steps, next day the child will not even walk 4 steps. Spirituality is also like that only. Unless and otherwise, Krishna decides to outpour on you his complete causeless mercy, then he'll also give you the power to handle them. Otherwise, you have to make sure that he incrementally does it. So my humble suggestion sense here is that we need not equate, or we need not try to match up to anyone else's way of appreciating others. If we do it into according to our own genuine, honest self, I guess we will make progress. Did I respond to your point?
Yes, Prabhu, very well. And the other thing, the last hopefully, is like when we meet devotees, especially when we live in a community, there are different kind of devotees. And so when we talk to them, they may not have the same way of thinking towards Krishna consciousness. I'm not talking about surrender, because they might be very senior and sincere, but that may not be revealed in their words. So you know, we are usually told that, you know, you have to be with the kind of people, to advance in your bhakti, you have to be with the people who are sincere. So in that process, I would say, tend to judge, which we are not supposed to, because it will be a Vaishnava brand. So, but at the same time, I have to be with suppose just for an example, I'm not saying somebody does, some devotee comes and tell that he or she watches Netflix. And that is something which is not recommended, at least by Prabhupada or any, you know, our acharyas. At the same time, that person might be very, very senior and sincere, which I do not know. But I don't also want to know about the Netflix and other things. How do we not judge and yet keep ourselves advancing in Krishna consciousness? Did I make sense, Prabhu?
I'll tell you a story. Srila Prabhupada was on the flight one day. And Srila Prabhupada was in a seat. And behind Srila Prabhupada was his servant, one of the servants. And 4 seats behind, there was another servant. So suddenly, Srila Prabhupada started laughing. Not just laughing, he is starting to chuckle. I mean, more laughing, more and more laughing. So this servant behind, he was surprised that how come Prabhupada is laughing like this. So he got up and saw, he had a shock of his life. The shock of his life was, Srila Prabhupada was watching Charlie Chaplin movie on the, you know, TV in the aircraft. I mean, so suddenly there's a, you know, oh my God, Srila Prabhupada is watching Charlie Chaplin. Srila Prabhupada is, you know, watching such mundane things. So this message is going to another guy. And so both of them, they thought, oh, probably Prabhupada is, you know, giving quote-unquote permission to, you know, witness this. So they kind of cooked up their own story. I don't know the entire, you know, the nth level narration, but this much I know. So then they also attempted to turn on the TV and started, you know, watching something. I don't know what exactly they watched. Then 5-10 minutes later, so they once again checked what Prabhupada is doing. Already Prabhupada has switched off, the TV was switched off, and Prabhupada is chanting or doing something. But these people couldn't stop, you know, watching them. I mean, this is not something directly related to what you're saying. But 9 out of 10 instances, what we see and what we infer may not necessarily be completely true, may not necessarily be completely wrong also. So anytime when we are dealing with a person who is senior to us, if we ever get doubtful about their behavior, or anything, anytime you find their behavior is something fishy or not so clear, best thing is to go and ask them, if you have that relationship. You can ask them, Prabhuji, Mataji, Maharaj, whatever that is, I find such and certain contradictory behavior. If you cannot ask in public, you can ask in private. They will clarify you. Anyone who is sincere will not hesitate to clarify. Because a duty of a leader, duty of a senior person is, you should have a spotless character. So if anybody has a doubt on your character, you have full responsibility to clarify them. Second, if you can't, I cannot go and ask, how can I go and ask Maharaj? How can I go and ask the Mataji? No, she will find, offensive to me. Then we need to learn to ignore. In spiritual life, or even in any relationship, this is my one of the relationship mantras I teach. There are four things that we need to learn. Ignore, clarify, teach, learn. We need to, any information that comes your way, you need to put them into any of the four buckets. What am I supposed to ignore? What am I supposed to clarify? What am I supposed to teach? What am I supposed to learn? If the agenda that I am supposed to ignore, I try to clarify. The agenda that I am supposed to clarify, I try to learn. The agenda I am supposed to learn, I try to teach. There will be complete mess. This holds good in mother-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, husband, wife. Every relationship, this will hold good. And it also holds good in Krishna conscious relationship. Because Srila Prabhupada says, 9.31 purport, 9.30 or 31 purport Bhagavad Gita. There are certain behaviors because of our past vasana. Prior to coming into Krishna consciousness, we may have some habits. Some of the habits may not necessarily go just like that. Maybe that devotee is going through that phase of, struggling to give up or giving up or in the verge of giving up. And such behaviors should not be taken up as that person's, fault, or you should not judge that person based on that. Rather, we should still respect his sincerity in devotional life so long as you know that there is a sincere endeavor in his practice. The message here is, can you classify? If you can learn to classify, to ignore that, it will help you much, much easier to handle such circumstances. Otherwise, we will always be, offended, irritated, and we will never be at, peace. And last but not least, one devotee taught me this mantra: learn to be optimistic on others and pessimistic on yourself, rather than pessimistic on others and optimistic on yourself. The reason is, our mind would always say how correct we are and how wrong they are when they are doing. And the same act when we do, you would justify how in my case it is correct and how others cannot judge you based on that act. So keeping that principle in mind, you should apply them in others. As we spoke in, not in this class, the earlier class I was telling, education means matruvat paradareshu paradravyeshu lostravat atmavas sarva bhuteshu ya paschati sa pandita. Chanakya Pandita says, atmavas sarva bhuteshu, the way you would prefer yourself to be treated, treat others. At least that way you'll remain as a gentle person. Makes sense, Mataji?
Totally, Prabhu. Absolutely. So beautiful. So much to learn and practice, Prabhu. So, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I need to practice that, Prabhu. But at the same time, so you were talking that, we should be genuine and innocent in bhakti without any, duplicitous nature. While doing so, sometimes we get genuinely hurt. Not an always an ego, but, you had a good intention and somebody else come up to you and behave in a way which really, really hurts. At least that's how it feels. In such cases, if we reveal our heart about the incident to our very few people, not everybody, but to our genuinely, like our spouse or your mentor, will it be a Vaishnava aparadha, Prabhu?
No. Clarifications is never a Vaishnava aparadha. If your intentions is to clarify and you have the demeanor to clarify, not to challenge, because clarification and challenge may have similar, words in the letter, The sentence in English, if you write, the same sentence you can, speak in a manner by which I challenge somebody, or I can speak in a manner by which I can, try to clarify someone. So, anytime when you ask for clarification, it is never, it's never an offense. No, you will not be at risk at all because you are not judging. You are trying to ease yourself, but you cannot be, quote unquote, smart enough saying that in the name of clarification, I'll just taunt them. That's not fair. So the message here is very simple. It is like this. When your children, when they are growing, suppose when they face tough situation, as a parent, you wish them to go through the tough situation sometimes, but not that much tough situation where they will collapse and cease to exist. That's exactly how Krishna will look at us. Somebody said this, Krishna will give that much load, pressure, challenge upon you, which you can handle so that you can progress in Krishna consciousness. Or Krishna will give you that much challenge which you can't handle and you have to surrender. Either of the choice Krishna will do. Krishna will not leave you in between. So he will give you a challenge so that step by step you grow. You give you some challenge, you learn something from that, you improve upon that, you go further. Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. What is Tattva Darshina means? They have seen the truth. What is they have seen the truth? In their lives or others' lives? Why the doctors, you know, are experienced? Because they are seeing patients day in, day out. They have seen, so they can properly point out and help you to solve your problem. So when you have seen in others' life, you will be able to help others. So Krishna may give you challenge or give you tough situations and may wait and watch. Let me see how is he handling. If he makes a mistake, fizzle out. It's not Krishna is going to boycott you that, oh, you made a mistake, then, you know, get lost. Krishna is not going to do that. Neither Guru is going to do that. They're going to give several chances for you to redeem, move further. This is one category. Second category is Krishna may give you so much, you know, scenario, such as a scenario. You will not have any intelligence to, you know, solve it. All you will do it. Karavalambam mama dehi Vishnu Govinda Damodara Madhavedi. You will only have to surrender, raise your arms up and surrender like Draupadi did. Tried, nothing worked, surrendered. So if you fall in either of one category, glorious. Make sure you are not in between. That's all. Make sense?
Yes, Prabhu, though you, I mean, I did not express my question last one properly, but the answer was so beautiful. It was again worth. I asked, suppose somebody else hurts me and I go and reveal my heart to my mentor or my spouse, not with a mood to criticize, but to, you know, feel lighter.
No, it's not Vaishnava Parat. Because you need to get rid of that and you're asking for some direction and help, is absolutely fine. Rather than if you do that to one person, two person, your mentor, to your spouse, for your, you know, alleviating, you have to relieve yourself from that thought, absolutely, you know, understandable. And not making it as a news out saying that, you know, how that Mataji abused me or accused me or, you know, humiliated me. So I guess it is never considered a Vaishnava Aparadha, based on what I understand Vaishnava Aparadha.
Thank you so much, bro. Very, very thankful for all the answers. Sorry for taking so much of your time.
No problem.
But Dandavat Pranam, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay. If there are no further questions, then I'll... Vrinda Gopika Mataji wanted me to, you know, sing a song, so I cannot deny. So, I mean, sure, if it's getting late, you are free to, you know, sign off. I'll just sing a small song called Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. This is a song by Rupa Goswami, and it's a very small song so that we can end the session with that song. And just in case if anybody has any questions still, I'm going to respond also. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. Mana Manasa Madhukaram Arpaya Nijapada Pankajamakarande. Mana Manasa Madhukaram Arpaya Nijapada Pankajamakarande. Krishna Deva Bhavantam Vande. यद्यपि समदिशु विदिरपि पश्यति न तव न काग्रमरीचिम्। यद्यपि समदिशु विदिरपि पश्यति न तव न काग्रमरीचिम्। इदमिच्छामि निशम्य तव च्युत तदपि कृपाद्भुत वीचिम्। इदमिच्छामि निशम्य तव च्युत तदपि कृपाद्भुत वीचिम्। कृष्णादेव भवन्तं वन्दे, कृष्णदेव भवन्तं वन्दे। भक्तिरुदाञ्चति यद्यपि माधव न त्वयि मम तिलमात्री। भक्तिरुदाञ्चति यद्यपि माधव न त्वयि मम तिलमात्री। परमेश्वरता तदपि तवधिक दुर्घटघटन विधात्री। परमेश्वरता तदपि तवाधिक दुर्घटघटन विधात्री। कृष्णादेव भवन्तं वन्दे, कृष्णदेव भवन्तं वन्दे। अयमविलोलत याद्य सनातन कलिताद्भुतरसभारम्। अयमविलोलत याद्य सनातन कलिताद्भुतरसभारम्। निवसतु नित्यम् इहामृतनिन्दिनि विन्दन्मधुरिमसारम्। निवसतु नित्यम् इहामृतनिन्दिनि विन्दन्मधुरिमसारम्। कृष्णादेव भवन्तं वन्दे, मनमानसमधुकरम् अर्पय निजपद पङ्कजामकरन्दे। कृष्णादेव भवन्तं वन्दे। जय जय राधा श्याम सुन्दर राधा, श्याम सुन्दर राधे। जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा, जय प्रभुपदा। नित्याय गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल, नित्याय गौर हरि बोल। हरे कृष्णा। थैंक यू।
थैंक यू प्रभु जी, कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम। चला प्रभुपाद चला उठ देव की जय।
थैंक यू।
Komudiki Mataji, your voice is breaking. So if we have no more questions, we can close the call here. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyava Japatita Naam Pavane Vyava Vaishnava Vyava Namana Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vyava Vyava. Thank you so much.
Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ram Giridhari Prabhu Ji.
Ram Giridhari Prabhu Ji.
Jai. Thank you Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Ram Giridhari Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you Prabhu Ji. Nice bhajan.